from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. And we are with you until 10 a.m. this morning. We got a lot to get to on the show. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. We are on the heels of just hours removed from a truncated Hall of Fame game last night, Seth. Nearly three quarters of football. The Houston Texans, I guess technically they lose to the Bears 21-17, but there was a lot of stuff going on out there last night that we'll get into today. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good. I thought there were some really good things. There were some curious things from that game last night. But I think Davis Mills played very efficient football. Led a couple scoring drives. I'm not as high on his performance as I think a lot of other people are. I think this is like a Matt Schaub type of, hey, the scheme really did him a lot of favors. I think if Davis Mills played that way over the course of a season, you'd have at least three receivers with lacerated kidneys by the end of the year. You would have, he's just like Davis Mills. He continues to be what I think he's been when we've seen him before, is he makes some really nice plays, but then he always also does some curiously stupid, like, oh, that's a nerd playing football types of plays. When he tried to dish it to Skoranek for God knows what reason, when he could have easily run the ball, he almost took a hit going out of bounds that he didn't need to. He makes things more interesting than they need to be. Somebody reached out to you, me, and Clint on Twitter last night and said, hey, can we stop this stupid conversation about whether Davis Mills is the backup quarterback? I don't know. I thought Case Keenum looked better than Davis Mills. And it's all versus backups, but Case Keenum looked like a guy I could trust. He's not as physically impressive. But, the box score doesn't tell the whole story with Davis Mills. And now, having said that, it's one preseason game. And it's, you know, he did some good things. He did some very good things in that game. But he just always had, he had at least three plays where I'm like, oh, come on, Davis.
Yeah.
This is the nerdy guy from Stanford who's smart but can't play sports. There's just too many moments like that to make me feel like, oh yeah, Davis Mills, he's the backup for sure.
Did he do enough in that game, or was his performance in that game worthy of glow-up status? Like, did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, could another team? Did he do enough in that game where if a team running the Coop Shanistani system sustained an injury, they go, you know what? I get it. It's the market. Normally we wouldn't do this, but we're desperate. Here's a second round pick for Davis Mills.
He knows how to take advantage of the open receivers that system provides. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, okay, look, that was one thing that the very big positive I'd take away from that is that Davis Mills did make some really nice plays. The play where he had to scramble, you know, it was boot and the defensive end didn't bite on the play fake. So, and I have a feeling some people watching on TV thought that might have been Cade Stover's fault or something. But it was just the defensive end did a good job. And Davis scrambled around and ended up making a really nice throw on that play. I thought that was a really nice play by Davis.
Are you talking about the play where you kind of juked him a little bit? That number 92? Yeah, that was awesome. That was
he's athletic.
Yeah.
In like a track athlete type of way.
Right.
It doesn't translate necessarily always to the field because, again, he just starts. It's like he's trying to take the Wonderlic sometimes out of the field. He just seizes up in the moment.
Yeah, that was like a twitchy play by him on that one. I'm like, oh, okay. We haven't seen that club in his bag before.
Xavier Hutchinson, I think, might have been the biggest winner of the night in terms of, okay, wow. Both these quarterbacks really trust Xavier Hutchinson. He's getting open within the scheme. He's making some nice grabs. I think Xavier Hutchinson made both the quarterbacks, well, both Case Keenum and Davis Mills look better. So I would say Xavier Hutchinson, off the top of my head, was the winner of the evening in a shortened game.
Yeah, I think so too. I was jotting down names during the game. I jotted down some names before we started the show. The names I jotted down as winners last night, Davis Mills, even though, as you point out, there were spots in there that he'd like to have back, but I thought overall a good performance. Yes, Xavier Hutchinson is in a dogfight for a roster spot right now, and he showed up last night. 5 catches, 56 yards on 6 targets, went over the middle a few times, had a nice 20-yard catch. He was good, man. I mean, he's in a fight right now, I would say, with Robert. We know who the three. I would say Dell, Diggs, Nico, we know, are locks. It feels like Noah Brown is, too. He got the veteran treatment last night. But again, so did Robert Woods, and I don't feel like Robert Woods is a lock to make the team necessarily.
No, I think so. That's one of those hard decisions you have to make.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, are we going to really hold on? We've already got a bunch of old guys on the team. Are we going to hold on to this old guy just because we can depend on him, or do we give some of the young bucks a chance?
Yeah, Skowronek did some things last night. He had a deep catch down the field. He had a one-handed catch that was aesthetically looked really nice. Like, if you didn't know it was only a 1-yard catch, you'd be like, wow, look at Skowronek,
right,
one-hander, you know?
Yeah, and it didn't convert the first down, but it was like, that was a bad throw by Davis Mills that he made right, that Skowronek made right. And that's what we've seen in camp, is that Skowronek's got an ability to kind of reel some errant footballs in, and that's valuable, especially. Let me ask you this, in terms of winners and losers. New kickoff return rules, winner or loser?
Okay, it's funny you say that, because I read a few people after the game that were saying, like, oh, I really liked it. I thought loser, in my opinion. I actually have it as one of the losers in my 4 winners, 4 losers article that I write for the Houston Press. And it's because it was kind of a popcorn fart. There was nothing super exciting about it to me other than the newness of it. You know, like the returners would catch the ball down near the goal line and would basically just run into a massive humanity waiting for him right there.
And I'll tell you, there were some scary hits, too.
There were,
If they were trying to reintroduce the kickoff return, but in a safer manner.
Yeah.
And I know they were thinking, well, there's not as many full-speed, high-speed collisions, so maybe it reduces concussions. I thought that, A, there were high-speed collisions, and, B, they were, like, all at awkward body angles.
Yeah.
This feels like the asbestos of safety, where, like, okay, it'll protect you from fire, but it'll kill you other ways. Right. That's what this is. That's what this is. This is the asbestos of making football safe.
Football safety.
Yeah.
Who was it? It was, like, Jake Hansen, I think, went in there, like, just bat out of hell. And, yeah, you're right. Like, it looked... And there were
awkward. Everybody. It seemed like every defensive player that was making a tackle was doing it as his right or left ACL was being torqued to the extreme.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. It was funny too to watch the treatment that it got from the broadcast team, from Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Like, I mean, Joe Buck was treating it like we were like introducing a new king or queen or something. Like, okay, here it is, the new kickoff. And then the next time it happened, like, same gravitas with the whole thing. I'm like, damn, Joe Buck, like, you're into this new kickoff. And we got to see plenty of them because the defenses for the first half of the game couldn't stop anybody. It felt like we were getting a kickoff like every 5 minutes in that game last night.
Yeah, that was Joe Buck made a good point about it because there were a couple penalties on it for offsides or fall, like whatever the infraction. I think on one of them they didn't even bother trying to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, without getting too mired down in rules talk, we're not pro football talk here. The fact that you have to wait until the return team touches the ball before the kickoff team or the return team can move. Joe Buck made a really good point where it's kind of like baseball where you got to go back and figure out, like, oh, wait a second, did the guy tag up? Did the guy touch second base before the runner came home for the out?
Yeah.
So you're making a decision on two different locations of the field.
Yep.
And I like maybe if they give a little bit of a ramp up, like a 2 yard zone where the kickoff team can start running,
yeah,
it'll be easier to judge those things. But I'm a little bit skeptical right now.
I just didn't see. It didn't give me the overall. I agree with your take on the maybe unplanned for danger of the play at least one game in. It just, there was nothing about the play that was super exciting to me other than the newness of it. Like I think the best starting field position that a team had off of a kickoff was the 32-yard line.
The one thing I would say is that I think there were a few opportunities on some of those returns where if the first guy hadn't made the tackle, it was going to be a nice run.
Maybe.
So, because there's no like safety help or anything.
No.
The kicker's the only guy you got back there. The guy holding the tee has to sprint off the ball. Just like they did a really nice thing about Mojo, the old Oilers on the ESPN broadcast,
yeah,
about the old Oilers guy that used to run out and grab the tee and then do somersaults and everything.
Yep.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, the promised or anticipated excitement wasn't quite there.
No, that's kind of where I'm at on it as well. We're kind of sifting through the Hall of Fame game last night. If you're just waking up or you're just getting in your car, Bears 21, Texans 17. The game got stopped with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. So the Texans brought the weather with them on the plane last night. All the weather we've been having here, they brought with them up to Canton, Ohio last night in a big, big way. It was nasty.
And they showed on the ESPN broadcast, they showed the storm moving in, and it was almost looked like there was a little bubble around around Chicago for a moment where it might miss it completely, and it did not.
No. You mean Canton.
Yeah, it's Canton. Sorry, yeah. I'm thinking about, yeah.
You're thinking about
Was going to say Cleveland, and then I knew I was like, no, it wasn't in Cleveland. Who were they playing? Oh, Chicago.
I thought maybe you saw a bigger Doppler radar. Payne and Pendergast.
Who was the home team in that game? Look at the box score real quick.
I don't know. You know what? Actually, the Bears were technically. I'm looking at the box.
There you go. I stand. I'm correct. I said Chicago. It was like they were in Chicago.
Hey, speaking of which, what did you think of the new uniforms in action last night?
I really liked them, but for the fact that they were playing the Bears, because at first it looked like the Bears were playing the Bears.
Yeah, a little
You're
bit.
You're used to that dark, dark blue. And I'm like, wait, who's that? I had to keep checking the little arrow to be sure that I was the – and you don't know half the guys on the field.
That's the big thing. Like, none of them look familiar. Like,
I'm out there trying to figure out who's playing. I made a mistake a few times of, like, trying to figure out who was playing offensive line for the Texans while actually looking at the Bears.
Yep. So it was It was fun last night, man. It was good to get football back, and now the Texans are going to hang out up in Canton for a couple days. Everybody's going to Andre Johnson's induction from the team tomorrow. All the players are going. Everybody's going. That should be a whole lot of fun. So we'll talk more about that. Andre Johnson's going to get a lot of love on the show today. Tomorrow he goes into the Hall of Fame as the first Houston Texan, and that is very, very cool. All right, we're off and running on what I guess is sort of a reaction Friday here, the game last night. We're going to react to that plenty. Also, the Astros... big one tonight, man. If you're going to the game tonight, this should be a fun one to be at. Yusei Kikuchi making his debut. That's the good news. But we got some bad news on the injury front for the Astros, which we will sink our teeth into coming up next. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast, good to be with you on a Friday. Texans and Bears last night. Game was only about three quarters long. We'll talk plenty about that this morning. We'll talk plenty about Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame. Love the scene at the beginning, Seth, when they were introducing the Hall of Famers, and the Hall of Famers are kind of walking out in between like sort of a human tunnel of the two teams lined up there, and they're walking to midfield, and of course Andre is walking to midfield with plenty of familiar faces around him off to his left-hand side. I thought it was really cool when they cut to D'Amico Ryans while Andre was walking out to midfield. And D'Amico was, there was nothing rehearsed about it. There's nothing rehearsed about D'Amico at all. Like, but he was like mid-smile. You know what I mean? Like they cut, like he was, D'Amico looked so happy.
He was really taken in the moment.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
He really just looked just so, like, he was like a fan happy to be down on the field.
Totally. It was great.
I thought that was cool. I was so intrigued by Steve McMichael's wife that, you know, because Steve McMichael passed away in 1994,
No. McMichael's still alive.
He is?
Yes.
They said he was dead.
No. He's got a very, very progressed case of ALS, I believe.
Oh, right. Okay. They dump that laughter of that. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. No, he's still with us.
For some reason, I'd read one of those reports and thought he had passed away. But that was cool. His wife came out and did the fist pump.
Yeah. She was great. Misty McMichael, which that sounds like a made-up name. It's too good of a name, Misty McMichael. So that was cool. Last night, seeing Andre. We'll talk more about Andre as we head towards the top of the hour. The Astros are back in action tonight. They were off yesterday. And tonight is going to be one of the more interesting nights, Seth, of the regular season as we get our first look in an Astros uniform at Yusei Kikuchi.
Kikuchi, give it to me.
Against the Tampa Bay Rays.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready for some Kikuchi action.
I am too.
Look, Dana Brown promised us that the Astros coaching and analytics staff would rein him in and tweak his pitch selection a little bit, and basically said, look, the Blue Jays don't know what the hell they're doing, and they got some clown named James Click up there, and we're going to go ahead and actually get the best out of Kikuchi.
I never thought of that. That's true.
No, they did. Every time they talk about how they're going to fix Kikuchi, I'm like, all right, guys. You know, like every other team in the league has copied what you guys have been doing on the pitching development side of things. It's not in the pitch selection and everything else.
My optimism for Kikuchi finding his, I guess, I mean, there's never really been an extended like Cy Young form that Kikuchi has had. You know, he made an all-star team for the Mariners in 2021, back when the Mariners were dog crap.
Right.
And then he had a good season, a solid season in 2023. I don't know what exactly it is we're trying to regain with Kikuchi here. My optimism is fueled by hopefully just like change of scenery kind of thing. You know,
yeah,
change of scenery. You're in a pennant. Dude, I'm grasping. I admit it. I'm trying to stay optimistic about this whole
thing. Spillane, I had Spillane try to, you know, talk me down off the ledge in a lot of ways when it came to that trade. And Spillane did a good job of saying, you know, we probably value our own prospects a little bit more than we should, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing I still can't get over is I've been reading all these articles where these damn nerds will, and I'm all about, I love the analytics and everything. I don't like sports writers who don't understand math talking about analytics.
Right.
Because they'll say in the article, he's a good pitcher.
Yeah.
He's got great, strikes a lot of people out, all this stuff, and then never explain away the fact that the results actually haven't been all that
great.
Right. Yeah, like he's got great stuff, but you got to harness all that great stuff and not be letting up 4.7 runs per nine innings, like he has in his entire career, except for one season last year. You know what it is? It feels too much like the Astros deluding themselves with Montero, because that's what they did with Montero. They thought, hey, look at what happened. We got the absolute best out of Montero because we're so good at developing pitchers.
Yeah, and that was his only good season that he's ever had.
He was designated for assignment 2 days ago.
Yeah, I was, of all the things, Seth, when I wasn't here yesterday that I was sad I didn't get to chop up with you on Thursday's show, was Rafael Montero getting DFA'd. I was sad to not be on the radio for that. That's a lot of money that they spent to get rid of guys this year. That's going to be... Whew, that was a bad offseason, man.
But you actually, you know, you got rid of the tumors. You caught it before it was stage four.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a big thing. Early detection, people.
What do you have?
Guys, go do your colonoscopy or get your poop test done. Because that's where they really, the early detection in baseball and in cancer. That's the key.
Well,
early detection.
I don't know how early it was. I mean, Abreu and Montero did get a whole season under these new contracts. I would say
hadn't metastasized completely yet.
We were like stage three Montero, I think, right? Probably.
Well, yeah, as far as the actual tumors, the tumors were bad, but they hadn't so spread to the rest of the roster that you're now there. If they had kept both Abreu and Montero all season long, then perhaps it would have been you would have had it all over you.
Can you imagine Dana Brown's doing interviews like 2 or 3 weeks ago with Montero still on the team? He's like, we know Rafael's been very good, but it is treatable. It is treatable. We can get rid of this Montero.
My dad and I would have debates about his cancer. Listen, everybody, this is me telling a personal story. So don't claim that I'm being insensitive here. So my dad had really bad lung cancer, and it was stage four. It metastasized. And yet my dad and I, we'd have fun, playful arguments about a lot of stuff. And one of our last big argument was him, a lifelong chain smoker, insisting that it wasn't actually lung cancer, that it spread to the rest of his body. I'm like, Dad, he was pulling a total Jeff Bagwell. It's just like, he's trying to show me the back of the baseball card, and I was like, Dad, all these doctors are saying it was lung cancer. I'm pretty sure it was the cigarettes that did you in, man.
Nope.
They missed my prostate cancer, and that's what spread.
The back of my smoker's card. Look. Oh man, that's funny. Hey, by the way, you said Adam Spillane, you tasked him with talking you off the ledge about the whole Kikuchi thing. I think of everybody at Sports Radio 610, Spillane would be the least that I would want to be tasked with talking me off the ledge about anything. Because I feel like most of the time when you want someone to talk you off the ledge, I think 99% of people, even if they don't believe what they're saying, are going to try to do that. I feel like Spillane is the one guy here who'd be like, fine, jump. You know? Hey, talk me off the ledge on this. I can't. You should jump.
I think with Spillane, though, like Spillane's not like one of those writers that were angering me, because Spillane didn't sit there and try to act like Kikuchi's, oh yeah, he's a great pitcher and it's just bad luck.
And Spillane was in favor of the trade too. You know,
like, I got a little offended when he tried to explain FIP to me. I'm like, listen, I understand FIP. We talk about it on the show. I know you're. Listen, we're not dullards here.
It's like, do you know who I am? I'm Stat Nerd Seth.
Stat
Nerd Seth.
Well, no, that's a big thing that'll bother me. So fielding independent pitching for the listeners that don't know, it's basically like your ERA if you take luck out of the equation.
Right.
His FIP has always been a little bit better than his ERA, but that's what happens with guys that throw a lot of strikeouts. That's it kind of works out that way.
Yeah.
It's not like this year his FIP is bad too. It's not like he's just had all bad luck. It's a little bit of that over this last bad stretch, but he's just not been a good pitcher.
Right.
He's a guy you can plunk out there and give the rest of the guys some rest.
So Brian McTaggart, the Astros beat reporter for MLB.com. We're big fans of tags. We like Brian McTaggart. He was on 790 yesterday. He was on with Matt Thomas, and they got talking about they were going through all the laundry list of Astro things, I guess, and one of them is Kyle Tucker. And Brian McTaggart had a quote which made the rounds yesterday and had a lot of people pretty upset, but I don't know that it's shocking a lot of people necessarily. McTaggart said that Kyle Tucker is moving to the 60-day injured list so they can open up a 40-man roster spot for Pedro Leon coming up from Sugar Land. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't necessarily mean anything as far as when Kyle Tucker can return, because he's got so much time served already on the injured list. It's just more of an administrative thing. But this was the thing that got people upset as Astro fans. Tucker is, quote, this is according to McTaggart, not close to a minor league rehab assignment, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not even close to getting close to coming back.
It's good, though. You weren't in yesterday morning, so it's the two things I was wrong about yesterday was that I was excited to see John Mechie do some things in the preseason game. I was wrong about that. Xavier Hutchinson did a great job last night. And I was wrong about, I had thought, you know how I listen to articles in the morning?
Yes.
I download everything to a doc, and then like when I, to wake up, I go out and I drive a vehicle through traffic to go get some coffee and listen to articles at the same time. I thought it was a McTaggart article that sounded a little bit more optimistic about
Tucker.
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
And I said that to Spillane. And Spillane, who's much smarter than me, was like, I don't know about that. It turned out it was a different outlet that was saying that, because they were spouting off whatever Espada had said, you know, who's eternally optimistic about this stuff. So I said McTaggart had said that. Obviously, it wasn't McTaggart. McTaggart's saying the exact opposite. Kyle Tucker it's still not looking so hot.
No. And they're about to hit a patch of schedule here where they could really use Kyle Tucker. They got the Orioles coming up here soon. They got the Phillies coming up here soon. They
munked
it together.
There's like, yeah, well, the offense has been really good since Kyle Tucker's been out.
Yeah.
So the silver lining is, wow, if and when he does come back, it could get really electric. And yet, man, now it's at the point, it's been long enough, you know, it's been damn near 2 months. Like, how long is it going to take him to come back? We haven't been through this with Kyle Tucker. Is he a guy who can come back quickly from being injured? Is he a guy that's going to take some time to get his timing back? We just have no clue.
Yeah, you're thinking exactly what I was thinking the other night watching the Astros. Like, okay, we know that Yordan Alvarez can be out for a month and a half, pick up a bat, and have a 900 OPS for a week. You know, like, we've seen Yordan. Jose Altuve does normally, when he's been out in recent years, comes back, and he does not take long at all to look like the old Altuve. It's a great point, Seth. We have nothing to go off of with Tucker. You know, we have nothing to go off of as to what he looks like after being gone for what's going to wind up. Man, by the time he comes back, like, if he is not close to a minor league rehab assignment, then, and now we're into August now. It's August 2nd. I mean, we got to be looking at close to September with him coming back. That's going to be 3 months he's been out. He went out on June the 3rd. You know, we're up on 2 months starting tomorrow. So, this is what I wonder too, big picture. Like, in the grand scheme of things, especially considering the Astros are still winning without Kyle Tucker, like, is this actually going to save them some money with his arbitration next year? You know, that he was on his way to an MVP level season before it got torpedoed by this injury. I do wonder if it does go to arbitration, which, you know, with the Astros and Kyle Tucker, it's gotten testy in recent years in the offseason. What does this do to his value in general, either in the eyes of an arbiter or if the Astros are of the mind to move him in the offseason. I can't imagine that other teams are going to look at it negatively in any way.
I don't think it's going to affect his free agency appeal one bit, just because he got hit by a baseball, you know, on the bone, and it took a long time to recover. Like, his track record of being relatively immune to injuries, I think, is probably still going to be people are going to look at that as like, yeah, he'll be fine, and they might hope that it drives his value down, but I don't think it
will. You know, the Astros are going to come in with a low ball offer in arbitration, though, because they're going to look at it and go, well, look at your numbers, and if I'm Kyle Tucker, I go, look at my OPS. I'm fifth in OPS.
I guess the question would be, does it scare Kyle Tucker into seeing his baseball mortality? And perhaps if the Astros do offer him an extension, maybe him being like, well, gosh, you know what? I've seen the other side of it now. It's not so simple that I'm always going to be healthy no matter what.
Maybe.
Maybe I'll take this money now.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But that's bad news for the Astros yesterday. Not close to a minor league rehab assignment, according to Brian McTaggart. Text message on something you and I were talking about during the break. How do y'all think the coaching staff handled Kalen Bullock's early celebration on the fumble that he forced?
Yeah, so Kalen Bullock does a great job of coming up and doing exactly what we thought he would do, man. He's got really good timing on a lot of these things. He tracks the ball well. He came up, hit the Bears receiver, jostled the ball out, and as there were a group of Texans players trying to come the ball, the ball jostled out, and as Kalen Bullock is celebrating, the ball bounced to exactly where Kalen Bullock would have been if he had just stayed in place.
Yeah.
I think the coaching staff is going to point that out. As a fan, I'm not overly disturbed about it, because this is the kind of stuff that this is what happens. You know, Sean, I was on the field when Plaxico Burress, as a rookie in a preseason game, caught a beautiful pass over the middle. We were playing the Steelers. And went to the ground, got up, and not realizing that he was now in the NFL spiked the football.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And Plaxico Burress would never go on to do another stupid thing in his NFL career. So
not on the field.
It was never. He did go on to have a long career.
Hey,
interrupted by a jail sentence, but other than that, he did a pretty good job.
His son is going to Notre Dame next year to play football. Plaxico Burress.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a picture.
You got everything all registered and everything.
As far as I know,
ready for Indiana.
I don't know the gun laws in Indiana these days. Believe it or not, I wasn't packing when I was on campus.
Just register your weapons, my friend. That's all. Just register your weapons.
That's it. Yeah. Plaxico. Plaxico's son is going to be a freshman. Jerome Bettis' son is going to be a freshman on the football team.
Oh, wow.
Ryan Clark's son transferred to Notre Dame from Arizona State. So there was a picture of the three of them, with all three of their kids that was online, a month ago.
They're the Toronto Blue Jays of college football.
They are,
They're just stockpiling lineages.
Yes.
Who was the last guy you said?
Ryan Clark.
Oh, Ryan, no kidding.
Yeah,
no,
his,
Ryan
yeah,
kid.
Yeah,
wow.
his son transferred there. The other two, Plaxico and Bettis' sons, are incoming freshmen. Ryan Clark's son. Yeah, so, man, it's going to be a lot of famous people in the crowd next year.
Ryan Clark, very high on the Texans. Every clip I see of him is him gushing about the Texans.
Is he ever, man? Is he ever? All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. We were reacting to the Hall of Fame game last night. We're getting you ready for the Astros this weekend against the Rays. Hey, let's get to headlines. We'll get you ready for both of those things. If you're just getting in your car and you missed what we had to say about either of those things, good news. We've got headlines coming up next here on Payne and Pendergast. Stay there. Hey, Texans Hall of Fame game last night. 21-17, the final score. The Bears beat the Texans last night in the Hall of Fame game. This game more about individuals, I would say, and guys looking good out there as opposed to the final score. The game was shortened last night. They called the game with 3 minutes to go and change in the third quarter with massive thunderstorms and torrential downpours that did not look like they were going to end anytime soon, according to the Doppler radar that they were showing.
Can they make that up with a doubleheader at the end of the
season? In week two. They're going to play, before Sunday Night Football, they're going to get all the third and fourth stringers out there to play the fourth quarter of the Hall of Fame game, even though half of them will be working at, you know,
other sport, they'll have to come from whichever team they're on. Yeah.
Or from the Cheesecake Factory, wherever they're working,
right,
is, you know,
right, yeah,
in the hospitality
industry. Going back to
industry.
School to finish their degrees.
Yeah, exactly. Sir, I realize you haven't done anything in 2 months, but we need you to finish up this preseason game. Here was D'Amico Ryans last night on what they were looking for. This is Ryan's postgame on what they were looking for from guys in this game.
In these games, I just look for guys to go out and execute their job, and that's always, it shows who can play when the lights are on and guys aren't overthinking. They can go out and play fast and they can execute what we've been asking them to do. Right? Not doing a lot offensively or on defense, but we just want to see who can go out and just play. And that's what you see. Some guys step up in these moments and some guys have a longer way to go. But you learn from it and you build from it. You see how guys, where they start. It's not about where they start, it's about how they show up next week. So that's what I'm most excited to see, is how guys show up the following week.
So guys who showed up, I think Xavier Hutchinson for sure. Xavier Hutchinson was A, you know, obviously getting open, and it's take everything with a grain of salt. You're going versus backups, et cetera, et cetera. But I think Xavier Hutchinson also, he made Davis Mills right a couple of times. I'd say Davis Mills, I think I'm not as impressed as the box score would have you believe, because he led a couple scoring drives. But he was bailed out by his receivers a few times. The biggest thing about Davis Mills was he still makes these really weird bad decisions, and he has these wildly inaccurate throws that offset some of the really good things he does. Like when a defensive end didn't bite on the play action on a bootleg, and he had to scramble around, ended up making really nice throws. He does all that, but it's the negative plays, and it's the guys, it's the receivers who would be bleeding out their ears if they were playing against a first team defense because the throw was high or inaccurate. I thought it was an okay performance by Davis Mills, but a couple of different people came to me and said that, like, well, I guess your whole concerns about Mills are done now, huh? Like, well, no, I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think he did some good things against a backup defense.
Do you think he winds up being the second string quarterback for this team when they break camp in September?
Well, okay. Last year, he was a second-string quarterback
It's a loaded question, I get it.
Right, right. Yeah. I would say after that performance, the two performances by Case Keenum and Davis Mills, I still trust Case Keenum more.
He looked good.
I think Case, you can see his limitations, but he doesn't do nearly as many of the curious things that Davis Mills does.
Yeah, the ball seems to be going to the right place with Case most of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas Davis, like you said, I think you put it really well. Like, the Xavier Hutchinson and other guys made him right. You know, like, he's making not the right decision, but the receivers are making plays.
Case does these things. It's twice last night.
Case or Davis?
Excuse me, Davis. Yeah. Davis Mills does these things, like when he tried to dish the ball to Skoranek for God knows what reason, when he just should have run it.
Yeah.
And then when he ran out of bounds on the sideline for a few yards gain to the right sideline. Do you remember a couple years ago when he took that completely needless hit on the sideline? He almost got killed for God knows what reason.
Yeah, man.
He kind of seizes up in the moment, and it drives me insane. And yet, he did make some nice throws. But for my backup quarterback, I want you to first do no harm.
Yeah.
Like, first, especially if the defense is playing really well, first do no harm, and Case is going to do some harm.
He is. Big thing about this weekend, this all roads lead to Saturday with Andre.
Excuse me, not Case. Davis is going to do some harm.
Yep. Yeah. the ceremony on Saturday for the Hall of Fame. That's what everybody's waiting for. Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame. It's been really fun watching all the steps leading up to this. Andre getting his gold jacket sent here to Houston, the video of that. Andre last night walking out to the middle of the field, getting introduced, doing interviews on the sideline. It's been amazing, really, for a Texan fan. This is new territory for Houston Texan fans. Here was D'Amico Ryans last night following the game on Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, this is really special for us as an organization to be here and support Andre with his enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. Seeing him there pregame, it starts to set in a little bit more. Like, it's really about to happen. So excited for Andre. Couldn't be more happier. Couldn't be another guy more deserving than Andre, being the first Houston Texan to go into you know, football heaven, right? We go into the Hall of Fame, all right, to get his bus here in Canton. Very special moment for Dre. And I know I'm just so happy just to be here to support Andre and his enshrinement. And it's a special weekend for all of us.
John Harris last night had tweeted out a picture from the Hall of Fame, or maybe it was a couple days ago, but I saw it last night. But it was a picture. And he said something like, well, you know, Andre Johnson will be here soon. And my first impression was it looked like the table at a morgue. And I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, that's dark.
But it was, in fact, the pedestal where Andre Johnson's bust will be at the Hall of Fame. Because it was all dark, and it was like a metal slab. I was like, what the hell's going on here? You got an awful macabre.
Yeah,
John Harris.
Existential Johnny. This is a new side of him that I haven't seen.
Once I understood what it was, I did get chills. Like, mostly because I was relieved that Andre was okay, and then also I realized, yeah, boy, he's going to get a big old bronze bust right there.
Andre Johnson will be here soon. In fact, we'll all be here someday.
Everybody dies. So, that was fun to see. And on the ESPN broadcast, Andre did a nice interview. I enjoyed that part of it last night. All the interviews with the incoming Hall of Famers.
Is he, Andre's going last on the speech schedule. And I don't think it's because Andre is some great speech giver. He himself said in the interview last night, like, I've never given a speech before, but he's watched all the Hall of Fame speeches and he's really looking forward to it. Is he the headliner for this class? There's not like an obvious, like, you know.
I don't know. I never look at the Hall of Fame, like the order of speeches or anything, as any kind of an indication anything.
And I'm kind of just using that as a tangent to all this. I'm really asking it more as a general question. Like, is he the... To the average football fan, is he the biggest name in this class, do you think?
Well, there's a few things I would want to respond to. The first is that they asked him in the interview, what's it going to be like going last?
Yeah.
And my first thought was, the thing that sucks about going last in a situation like this is it's really hard to listen and take in the speeches before you speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you speak anywhere... It's like, you're like, oh, I really want to listen to this guy, but I'm also kind of going over my notes in my head and everything.
Yeah.
So, like, that part of it, I feel like that might detract from his enjoyment of the moment some, because you get your speech out of the way and you can just let go.
You love it being over
with. And sit
back
and enjoy the moment.
That's why I always call in the first hour of the Smack Off to the Jim Rome show, so I can enjoy the rest of the show. Same exact
thing. So you can listen. The other thing is that I disagree with Andre about, him having given speeches, because I've seen Andre. I saw him at the Hall of Fame induction, the Houston Sports Hall of Fame induction, and I thought he gave a great speech.
Yeah.
I thought he was really, really good. And, he downplayed how much he would have rehearsed this one in that interview, where they have these guys rehearse their speeches quite a bit.
Yep.
So as far as is he the marquee guy?
Yeah.
I don't know. They've got – it's. I think just by virtue of having played for the Texans and not having been – in big games and everything, he's not as much in the minds of like the football population, the marquee guy.
I guess maybe Julius Peppers, Peppers is probably the most decorated maybe of everybody going in. I think he's a first ballot guy too. Freeney, Hester, and then we're missing one other modern day. That's four. Anyways, I was watching it last night. I'm like, man, Andre might be.
Oh no, we're missing the linebacker, Patrick Willis.
Oh yeah. And I think Andre's a bigger star than Patrick Willis, but maybe I'm a little too close to the situation.
Freeney was probably. That's an interesting one.
Freeney played on much better football teams than Andre did.
Yeah, that's where I think the team success always trumps everything else when it comes to notoriety of a player, like it for the long term.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. I get it's all subjective. I'm just, this whole thing's been cool. It's been great. Astros, let's get some Astros in here. You say Kikuchi makes his first start as an Astro tonight. Maybe we see Caleb Ferguson also, the reliever they picked up from the Yankees. They've got the Rays in town. The Rays who have basically treating their team like some sort of fixer-upper house. They traded like half their roster away at the trade deadline. So they're getting the Astros are getting a much different version of the Rays than they would have gotten two or three weeks ago, given the guys that they've traded away. They're in a virtual tie, the Astros are, with Seattle still. They're ahead by percentage points in the standings, Seth. Seattle's got the Phillies this weekend. So this, you know, this got a little opportunity here, man. Maybe put a little daylight between you and the Seattle Mariners if the Phillies can do us a solid.
I'm excited for Kikuchi just because if he does have a good game, he does it in impressive fashion. He throws a lot of strikeouts. I think that if he comes out and has a good first impression, I think people will be all on board the Kikuchi train. I think they'll – oh, speaking of which, Byron, I apologize. If you can go back and we'll play some – I got to play some audio for you. Never mind, Byron. We'll play some audio in the next segment, Sean, of the opposing broadcast from a couple nights ago.
Oh, okay.
That drove me absolutely insane.
Gotcha.
It was one of the most annoying and corniest things I've ever heard, but it has to do a little bit with a choo-choo.
Oh.
So, Kikuchi, yes, come out tonight, mow folks down, get 13 strikeouts, and you will be beloved by the
Astros.
Yes,
dude, fan
base. That's all you got to do, 13 strikeouts.
We are so set up for a small sample size overreaction tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because this trade got... This is as heated as Astro fans have gotten about something in a long, long time. This Kikuchi trade, non-Abreu, I would say, in the non-Abreu category. This is as heated as Astro fans have gotten. You're right. If he comes down and has a good start, comes out and has a good start tonight, I think that'll calm everybody down. If he comes out and has a performance that's commensurate with a nearly 5 ERA,
mm-hmm.
it, the ugliness will last until Monday. I can promise you that.
Which is his career ERA.
Correct.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That's his career ERA.
4.72. Yep. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of... Texans Hall of Fame game last night. 21-17, the final score. The Bears beat the Texans last night in the Hall of Fame game. This game more about individuals, I would say, and guys looking good out there as opposed to the final score. The game was... shortened last night. They called the game with 3 minutes to go and change in the third quarter with massive thunderstorms and torrential downpours that did not look like they were going to end anytime soon, according to the Doppler radar that they were showing.
Can they make that up with a doubleheader at the end of the season?
In week two. They're going to play, before Sunday Night Football, they're going to get all the third and fourth stringers out there to play the fourth quarter of the Hall of Fame game, even though half of them will be working at, you know,
other sport, they'll have to come from whichever team they're on. Yeah.
Or from the Cheesecake Factory, wherever they're working, in the hospitality.
Going back to
industry.
School to finish their degrees.
Exactly, sir. I realize you haven't done anything in 2 months, but we need you to finish up this preseason game. Here was D'Amico Ryan's last night on what they were looking for. This is Ryan's post game on what they were looking for from guys in this game.
In these games, I just look for guys to go out and execute their job, and that's always it shows who can play when the lights are on and guys aren't overthinking. They can go out and play fast and they can execute what we've been asking them to do. Right? Not doing a lot offensively or on defense, but we just want to see who can go out and just play. And that's what you see. Some guys step up in these moments and some guys have a longer way to go. But you learn from it and you build from it. You see how guys, where they start. It's not about where they start. It's about how they show up next week. So that's what I'm most excited to see is how guys show up the following week.
So guys who showed up, I think Xavier Hutchinson for sure. Xavier Hutchinson was obviously getting open. And it's take everything with a grain of salt. You're going versus backups, et cetera, et cetera. But I think Xavier Hutchinson also, he made Davis Mills right a couple of times. I'd say Davis Mills, I think I'm not as impressed as the box score would have you believe, because he had led a couple scoring drives, but he was bailed out by his receivers a few times. The biggest thing about Davis Mills was he still makes these really weird bad decisions, and he has these wildly inaccurate throws that offset some of the really good things he does. Like when a defensive end didn't bite on the play action on a bootleg and he had to scramble around, ended up making a really nice throws. He does all that, but it's the negative plays and it's the receivers who would be bleeding out their ears if they were playing against a first team defense because the throw was high or inaccurate. I thought it was an okay performance by Davis Mills, but A couple of different people came to me and said that, like, well, I guess your whole concerns about Mills are done now, huh? Like, well, no, I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think he did some good things against a backup defense.
Do you think he winds up being the second string quarterback for this team when they break camp in September?
Well, okay. Last year he was a second string quarterback
It's a loaded question, I get it.
Right. Yeah. I would say after that performance, the two performances by Case Keenum and Davis Mills, I still trust Case Keenum more.
He looked good.
I think Case, you can see his limitations, but he doesn't do nearly as many of the curious things that Davis Mills does.
Yeah, the ball seems to be going to the right place with Case most of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas Davis, like you said, I think you put it really well, like the Xavier Hutchinson and other guys made him right. You know, like, he's making not the right decision, but the receivers are making plays.
Case does these things. It's twice last night.
Case or Davis?
Excuse me, Davis. Yeah. Davis Mills does these things, like when he tried to dish the ball to Skoranek for God knows what reason when he just should have run it.
Yeah.
And then when he ran out of bounds on the sideline for a few yards gain to the right sideline. Do you remember a couple years ago when he took that completely needless hit on the sideline? He almost got killed for God knows what reason.
Yeah, man.
He kind of seizes up in the moment, and it drives me insane. And yet, he did make some nice throws. But for my backup quarterback, I want you to first do no harm.
Yeah.
Especially if the defense is playing really well.
That's
just
right.
First do no harm, and Case is going to do some harm.
He is. Big thing about this weekend, this all roads lead to Saturday with Andre.
Excuse me, not Case. Davis is going to do some harm.
Yep. Yeah. the ceremony on Saturday for the Hall of Fame. That's what everybody's waiting for. Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame. It's been really fun watching all the steps leading up to this. Andre getting his gold jacket sent here to Houston, the video of that. Andre last night walking out to the middle of the field, getting introduced, doing interviews on the sideline. It's been amazing, really, for a Texan fan. This is new territory for Houston Texan fans. Here was D'Amico Ryans last night following the game on Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, this is really special for us as an organization to be here and support Andre with his enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. Seeing him there pregame, it starts to set in a little bit more. Like it's about to happen. So excited for Andre. Couldn't be more happier. Couldn't be another guy more deserving than Andre, being the first Houston Texan to go into, you know, football heaven, right? To go into the Hall of Fame, all right, to get his bus here in Canton. Very special moment for Dre. And I know I'm just so happy just to be here to support Andre and his enshrinement. And it's a special weekend for all of us.
The John Harris last night had tweeted out a picture from the Hall of Fame, or maybe it was a couple days ago, but I saw it last night. But it was a picture. And he said something like, well, Andre Johnson will be here soon. And my first impression was it looked like the table at a morgue. And I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, that's dark.
But it was, in fact, the pedestal where Andre Johnson's bust will be at the Hall of Fame. It was all dark, and it was like a metal slab. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? You got an awful macabre. John Harris.
Existential Johnny. This is a new side of him that I haven't seen.
Once I understood what it was, I did get chills. Like, both because I was relieved that Andre was okay, and that also I realized, he's going to get a big old bronze bust right there.
Andre Johnson will be here soon. In fact, we'll all be here someday.
Everybody dies. So, that was fun to see. And on the ESPN broadcast, Andre did a nice interview. I enjoyed that part of it last night. All the interviews with the incoming Hall of Famers.
Is he, Andre's going last on the speech schedule. And I don't think it's because Andre is some great speech giver. He himself said in the interview last night, like, I've never given a speech before, but he's watched all the Hall of Fame speeches and he's really looking forward to it. Is he the headliner for this class? There's not like an obvious, like, you know.
I don't know. I never look at the Hall of Fame, like the order of speeches or anything, as any kind of an indication anything.
And I'm kind of just using that as a tangent to all this. I'm really asking it more as a general question. Like, is he the... To the average football fan, is he the biggest name in this class, do you think?
Well, there's a few things I would want to respond to. The first is that they asked him in the interview, you know, what's it like? What's it going to be like going last?
Yeah.
And my first thought was, the thing that sucks about going last in a situation like this is it's really hard to listen and take in the speeches before you speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whenever you speak anywhere, it's like you're like, oh, I really want to listen to this guy, but I'm also kind of going over my notes in my head and everything.
Yeah.
So like that part of it, I feel like that might detract from his enjoyment of the moment some, because you get your speech out of the way and you can just let go.
You love it
and
being
sit
over
back
with.
And enjoy the moment.
That's why,
you know?
I always call in the first hour of the smack off to the Jim Rome show, so yeah, I can enjoy the rest of the show. Same exact.
So you can listen. The other thing is that I disagree with Andre about, you know, him having given speeches, because I've seen Andre. I saw him at the Hall of Fame induction, the Houston Sports Hall of Fame induction, and I thought he gave a great speech.
Yeah.
I thought he was really, really good. And, you know, he downplayed how much would have rehearsed this one in that interview, where they have these guys rehearse their speeches quite a bit.
Yep.
So as far as is he the marquee guy?
Yeah.
I don't know. They've got – it's. I think just by virtue of having played for the Texans and not having been – in big games and everything,
yeah,
he's not as much in the minds of like the football population, the marquee guy. In
yeah, I guess maybe Julius Peppers. You know, with the Peppers is probably the most decorated, maybe, of everybody going in. I think he's a first ballot guy too. Freeney, Hester, and then we're missing one other modern day. That's four. Anyways, I was watching it last night. I'm like, man, Andre might be.
Oh no, we're missing the linebacker, Patrick Willis.
Oh yeah. And I think Andre's a bigger star than Patrick Willis, but maybe I'm a little too close to the situation.
Freeney was probably. That's an interesting one.
I mean, Freeney played on much better football teams than Andre did.
Yeah, that's where I think the team success always trumps everything else when it comes to notoriety of a player, like it for the long term.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it's all subjective. I'm just, you know, this whole thing's been cool. It's been great. Astros, let's get some Astros in here. You say Kikuchi makes his first start as an Astro tonight. Maybe we see Caleb Ferguson also, the reliever they picked up from the Yankees. They've got the Rays in town. The Rays, who have basically treating their team like some sort of fixer-upper house. They traded like half their roster away at the trade deadline. So they're getting the Astros are getting a much different version of the Rays than they would have gotten 2 or 3 weeks ago, given the guys that they've traded away. They're in a virtual tie, the Astros are, with Seattle still. They're ahead by percentage points in the standings, Seth. Seattle's got the Phillies this weekend. So this, you know, this got a little opportunity here, man. Maybe put a little daylight between you and the Seattle Mariners if the Phillies can do us a solid.
I'm excited for Kikuchi just because if he does have a good game, he does it in impressive fashion. He throws a lot of strikeouts. I think that if he comes out and has a good first impression, I think people will be all on board the Kikuchi train. I think they'll – speaking of which, Byron, I apologize. If you can go back and we'll play some – I got to play some audio for you. Never mind, Byron. We'll play some audio in the next segment, Sean – of the opposing broadcast from a couple nights ago.
Oh, okay.
It drove me absolutely insane.
Gotcha.
It was one of the most annoying and corniest things I've ever heard, but it has to do a little bit with a choo-choo.
Oh.
So, Kikuchi, yes, come out tonight, mow folks down, get 13 strikeouts, and you will be beloved by the Astros.
Yes, dude,
that's all you got to do, 13 strikeouts.
We are so set up for a small sample size overreaction tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because this trade got... This is as heated as Astro fans have gotten about something in a long, long time. This Kikuchi trade, non-Abreu, I would say, in the non-Abreu category. This is as heated as Astro fans have gotten. You're right. If he comes down and has a good start, comes out and has a good start tonight, I think that'll calm everybody down. If he comes out and has a performance that's commensurate with a nearly 5 ERA,
mm-hmm.
if the ugliness will last until Monday, I can promise you that.
Which is his career ERA.
Correct.
Everybody. Yeah. That's his career ERA.
4.72. Yep. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll get to that audio that Seth just talked about in just a moment, as well as our Hall of Fame game takeaways. Winners, losers, some guys that didn't play last night that probably should have, and a few that played that I was encouraged by as well. We'll get into all of that coming up next. Stay there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.